Good morning and welcome to Old Lion, Young Lion, the fastest growing show on local radio. We're excited to be here with you today. Our show is a show that determines we will be responsible for digging out the deep truths of Scripture and declaring them boldly. We believe that here on Old Lion, Young Lion, we work for the greatest lion of all time, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and that is my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches very clearly that the righteous ought to be bold as lions, and we intend to do so on this show. Now, Sam Hazelton and Anthony Stafford here on this show. We are part of the pastoral team of Electric City Baptist Church that meets at 2350 Hamburg Street every Sunday at 10:47 a.m., and we'd love for you to come and be a part of our worship services where we declare the Word of God. And I'm excited to get into today's topic. But before we do that, we need to let you know, if you haven't reached out to the show to become part of the Lion's Den, you need to do that now. Pause what you're doing, pull your car over, stop right now, and email us, oldlionyounglion@gmail.com, and email, I want to be part of the Lion's Den, and we will add you. You do not want to miss out. Now, before we get to today's show and the content of it, I'm excited about it. Old Lion, let me just make sure I tell the folks who our sponsor is today. It looks like a Sally Heller. Sally Heller, thank you for being today's sponsor. And we wanted to shout you out as passing your finals and your first term at Bible Institute. And so you've done a great job finishing your classes. And we hope all the best in the future. Sally Heller, thank you very much for sponsoring today's show. Old Lion, could you, if you please, as we in like manner weekly on this show, begin the show with a word of prayer. And if you're out there listening, just take a quick breath with us as Sam brings this show to the Father and asks for his blessing. Please, would you?
I will indeed. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this series on theologies, Lord. It seems to be going so fast. We've covered bibliology and theology proper and Christology, and now this week onto pneumatology. Father, as we talk about the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the nature of the Holy Spirit, the importance of the Holy Spirit, I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit himself would inspire us, the Holy Spirit himself would give us revelation, that we might make it clear to everyone listening, Lord, this great news, not only of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins, but also of the power of the Holy Spirit to live a holy life, to live a joyful and peaceful life. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We pray a blessing over all of you that are listening to the show, or whatever you're, if you're listening to the playback, whenever. We pray that this study of theologies can be a blessing to your personal understanding of the Bible and how God operates in this world. We want to make sure that there is no Christian worldview. There's only one worldview, and it is Christian. There's not other options. There's just the one worldview, and that is that God is the creator of this universe. The earth broke its covenant with God by walking in sin, and all the people that were there disobeyed God. So have you and I. And he sent his son down to pay the price for us to be saved and be forgiven of our sins. And Jesus says this. He says that I need to go away. If I don't go away, I won't be able to send another like me, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to be studying what's called pneumatology today, and that is the study of the person and work of the Holy Spirit. So, Old Lion, can you just give us a quick thought about where we've been on the theologies so far, a little bit about where we're going today, and where we're going in the future?
Yes, I mentioned earlier as I was praying, bibliology was the king of theologies, and that's the understanding what is the Word of God, what is the Bible. It's the Bible that gives us all the truth that we need to know about theology proper, about Christology, about pneumatology, soteriology, hamartiology, ecclesiology, eschatology, angelology, all these ologies that we're going to be covering. The Bible is our reference material for this knowledge. And today, I'm so excited because we're kicking off this episode today on pneumatology, the Holy Spirit. And, you know, the Holy Spirit, I've heard him described as the redheaded stepchild of the Trinity.
That's what they say.
And
they shouldn't, but that's what they say.
But he doesn't get the run of the Father and the Son. And he is the quiet member of the Trinity. He's the one who doesn't bring attention to himself, but rather brings attention to the Son of God, the Lord Jesus. But he is so important.
So important.
Because He is the one that we have guiding us. He is the one that we have leading us into all truth. He's the one who comforts us in all of our affliction. He's the one who convinces those who we're preaching the gospel to. He convinces them concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. And so he should be anything but the red-headed stepchild. In fact, it is precisely during this church age, during this era of the church, that the Holy Spirit is of preeminent importance to the church.
Yeah, you're right, because he works in the bride of Christ as well as he works in the individual members of the body of Christ. I want to start with a practical idea, Old Line. Maybe you can kind of help some of us understand this as we walk through. Before we get into who is he, and he should be mentioned as a he, this is not a force. This ain't Star Wars, folks. This is reality. He's not a force. He's a person. But we'll get to that in a minute. People kind of have this misunderstanding that somehow they might be able to purchase some candles and pray to their loved ones in heaven to kind of bring a message to the Father or something like that. Maybe some people even think, you know, they can pray to the Holy Spirit, and maybe they're not necessarily completely off, like God doesn't reject their prayers if they pray to the Holy Spirit. But when we kind of understand, I think the book of Jude gives us this, that we ought to be praying in the Holy Ghost. Maybe give us an idea practically before we kick the show off. Every person listen to this. What role in prayer, and how does the Trinity and specifically the Holy Spirit play in when a person is trying to talk or wants to speak to God?
Well, if you read the Bible carefully, you'll find and follow the way people prayed in the Bible. And generally, here's the pattern.
Okay, let's hear it.
People generally pray to the Father in the name of the Son, and they pray through the Holy Spirit. Mm. It says in Romans 11:36 that for from him and to him and through him are all things. And so we actually interact with all three members of the Trinity in our prayers.
That's good. That's good. And even in the very first pages of your Bible, you kind of find out this Spirit is there. And it says that the Holy Spirit moved upon the face of the deep. So when we first see this just in the first page, and the Holy Spirit's throughout the entire Bible, but we kind of encounter this character on page one of Scripture about the Holy Spirit, we must ask the question, who is he? If we're going to find out who the Holy Spirit is, the revelation from Scripture about who this is, who this person of the Trinity is, the Holy Spirit, Old Lion, where would we start? After we got revealed to us in Genesis 1, that we see all three of the Godhead working in perfect cohesion to create the world. Now we want to find out, we saw who the Father was, we saw who Jesus was, now we want to find out who is the Holy Spirit. Where would we go? What are some passages of Scripture to find out who is he?
Well, toward the end of this episode, we're gonna cover a passage in Genesis chapter 24 that kind of illustrates the role of the Holy Spirit with respect to the Godhead and with respect to the church.
It's going to be good, folks. Stay. Genesis 24 is fire. Okay, go ahead.
But there's a lot of other places that you can go. For example, John chapter 16 is very powerful. John chapter 16 and verse 13 describes this ministry of the Holy Spirit, that he will bring to our remembrance all those things that Jesus has said. So from a practical standpoint, we as faithful followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're studying the Word of God, we're getting the Word of God into it, we're storing it up in our hearts, the Bible says, so that we might not sin against him. So the Holy Spirit now can bring those things that you've stored up and treasured up in your heart, he can bring those things to your remembrance at the right place, at the right time, so that you can, when you open your mouth, have a positive impact on your surroundings.
Okay, I like that. And here's what I kind of want to work through, a couple of things. So here's some things that he kind of does. But throughout the Scripture, we kind of get the sense that he's personal, he can be engaged with. Are there some personal attributes of the Holy Spirit that we see in the Scripture? And where do those play themselves out? Does he interact with us individually? Is he kind of this idea, like I mentioned before, about a Star Wars force? Is he just the person that makes us feel nice when we're looking out at a garden? Tell us about who he is.
Okay. Well, one of the mistakes I hear people say a lot, and they will often refer to the Holy Spirit as an it rather than as a he. And so this gives away a fundamental misunderstanding of the person of the Holy Spirit. He is personal. There's a verse in Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 30, and it says this. It says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." So the Holy Spirit is a person, a force, an object, and it cannot be grieved. You cannot grieve a table. Okay, you can only grieve a person.
Right.
The other indicator in Scripture that we're dealing with a person here, and there are many indications of this throughout the Bible, but another one is in Acts chapter 13, where it says, as they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul to the work to which I have called them. So this is the Holy Spirit. He's speaking. So an it doesn't speak. A person speaks. And so many times in the book of Acts, it says, thus says the Holy Spirit. The prophets will say, thus says the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 13:14. It says, may the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. And so there is a sense in which we actually are in fellowship with this person of the Holy Spirit. We don't want to grieve him. When you have a friend that you're walking with on a day-to-day basis or driving along with, you want to be careful not to say things that will offend your friend. You want to be careful not to step on any hot buttons or bring up any topics that are going to hurt them in any way. So in the same way, we fellowship with the Holy Spirit. We don't want to grieve him. We don't want to do or say or think things that are going to grieve this very sensitive person of the Holy Spirit who walks and talks with us.
I think that's important. And we kind of see some of his characteristics. And I appreciate you sharing that with folks, because you got to be recognizing that sometimes we don't understand. We understand God to be a distant kind of warlord that we kind of bend our knee to. And there might be some elements of God wanting to bring justice and vengeance. His vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. But if we don't recognize that he is personal, we're going to have a problem. The second thing that you have to know, before we get into what he does, what the Holy Spirit does, we need to be very clear on this show. And we declare deity. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians that the Spirit is the Lord. Mm. So the Spirit is the Lord.
That's right.
Furthermore, in the book of Acts, as the church is unfolding, there's a story in Acts chapter number 5, and I want you to go read it on your own. But what Peter says in Acts chapter number 5 is, he says, you have not lied unto us, but you have lied unto God. You have lied unto the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And so this is declaring easily, not only did the Holy Spirit show up in creation, not only does the Holy Spirit work amongst all of his creation after it's made, but the Bible in Acts chapter number 5, verse 3, declares that the Holy Spirit is God. So we recognize not only does he have these roles to play, he's not a force, but he is the Lord and he is God. So here's what I'd like to do, Old Line. I'd like to kick this show along. I know that there's a lot to unpack as far as the Holy Spirit goes. And a lot of people have experiences that have helped them view God and God the Holy Spirit in a certain way. But I want to move to this position. What's the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit? And I see it in two categories. I see his work and his role in the world, and also his role in the believers and the church. And so what are some of the role or the ministry or the work of the Holy Spirit?
Well, let's start off with the world. What's his role in the world? And it says the Spirit convinces. In John 14:26, he will convince the world concerning sin and concerning righteousness and concerning judgment. And so this is the Holy Spirit. He's reaching out. He's actually pleading with the world to be reconciled to God. And so he's trying to point out that they have sinned and that they need a Savior. He's convincing them concerning that sin, concerning righteousness, that there is righteousness to be had in exchange for faith.
And I think that Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is that conscience that pokes you in the heart and says, why are you going against me? And the Holy Spirit is sent by the Father to convict you of your personal sin. I'm not talking about your remorse because you didn't get the things that you want. That he's convicting you of the things that you've done wrong so that you might come to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Sorry for interrupting, O-line. Go ahead.
No, that's all good. Concerning sin, concerning righteousness, and concerning judgment. And the beautiful thing here is that the Holy Spirit as a person, and I believe I've said this before on the show, but a spirit needs a body. So the Spirit works through a body. And so the Spirit dwelt not by measure, but in fullness in the Lord Jesus Christ. As he walked in his earthly ministry, the Spirit was on him in power. Jesus said to his disciples, the Spirit is now with you and he will be in you. And so the Spirit was in fullness in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Spirit worked through him. The Spirit worked through the prophets of old to bring conviction. And even in the book of Acts, you see the Holy Spirit working through prophets in the church to bring the word of God, to bring direction. But if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is going to use you to convince the world concerning sin, concerning righteousness, and concerning judgment.
Okay, so I want you to go to this a little bit. I want you to talk now. Let's move a little bit towards how he works with the believer. Because we see Jesus promise, Jesus gives us the promise of the Spirit, and he even says, the world does not receive the Spirit, for they don't see him, but you believe him, and you have received him. You don't want to be in this group where the Holy Spirit's convicting you of sin, and you reject the message that he's bringing and not receive him and don't become one of God's children. But let's move to a little bit. He convicts the whole world of sin and righteousness and judgment, but then those that receive the Holy Spirit, how does he operate and work in the life of the Christian or of the believer?
Right. And I think you can kind of divide this into two sections as well. First, how does he work within the church as a whole?
That's good.
And so the Bible says that my body, as a believer, my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. But it also says that you, plural, the whole church is being built you are being built together in Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 20 and 21. It says that you are being built together into a temple of the Holy Spirit. So it is a singular thing for you as an individual, and it is a plural thing for us as the church. And so through the Holy Spirit ministers to the church as a body, and God raises up prophets in the body of Christ to encourage, to exhort, to bring correction, to bring leading to the body as a whole. And the Holy Spirit's work is in the whole body through the prophets. The other way that the Holy Spirit works is in the individual, in each of us. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8:14,
that's good.
That, those who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons
of God. That's good.
And so if you are a Christian, you are being led by the Spirit of God individually. There's an interesting verse in Proverbs that says that there's four things that are too wonderful for me. One of those things that's too wonderful, he sees the locusts. They all march in rank, but they have no king. And this is a picture of the church, the body of Christ, all marching in rank. There's no king. There's no pope in the church. There's no universal individual man who's leading it. There's no organizational structure. And yet they're all marching in rank. Why? Because individually they're all being led by the Spirit of God.
I like that, how the body of Christ is moving together as the Spirit is helping building them together. So I want the folks to pay attention to the next part about how he works in your individual's life. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, the Bible clearly states this. I want everyone to go look this passage up because this relates directly to you. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 says that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. That means that he comes and takes residence within your body. That you are walking, if you're a believer in Jesus, that you are walking, you are a walking, talking temple of the Holy Ghost. So not only is the Holy Ghost putting you into the temple of the household of God, he now has made your body into the temple of where he spends his life, where he lives, where he operates from, where he walks with you, and where he talks with you. And we need to be very clear about this. The resident should be the president. The resident should be the president. And if the Holy Spirit is the resident and lives in the Holy Ghost temple of your body, then you need to be letting him lead the way in your life, causing you to walk into all truth, causing you to follow where he would lead you to go. Now, I also want to tell you something about what the Holy Spirit does. He is not always, even though we should to some degree, he is not always bringing glory to himself. So, Old Lion, I want you to talk about this. While he works in the hearts and minds of the believers, he's bringing their attention to all truth. He's walking them in their life every single day. But we don't, all these people that might be speaking on a regular basis, oh, Holy Spirit this, Holy Spirit that. What does he do in the life of the believer that actually brings them through sanctification?
Jesus said this in John chapter 16, verse 14, about the Spirit. Let me start in 13.
Yeah, you should. Back it up.
It says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. Verse 14, he will glorify me, for he will take what is mine, and he will declare it to you. So this is the ministry of the Spirit to declare to us and bring to our remembrance all things whatsoever Jesus has said and is saying.
So he leads you from the temple that's your body. He sealed you until the day of redemption. He's walking alongside you, comforting you in the things that you're walking through in trials and triumphs. He also reminds you of whatsoever things Jesus taught. He brings to your attention that your life should be magnifying the Son of God. He doesn't always speak of himself, but he points to the Son, and he speaks as your conscience in a still small voice, leading you in the direction that you ought to go. So, okay, if we think about all that, Old Lion, then the next question almost comes up in your mind for anybody that's listening to this is, how do I discern the spirits? Are there different voices? Does the Holy Spirit use multiple ways? Is my can of soup letters that pop in my bowl, is that a direction from the Holy Spirit? Did I hear him when that tree fell? Was it on the song on the radio, the Holy Spirit speaking to me? How do I discern the spirits? And are there other spirits out there that aren't the Holy Spirit?
Well, I run into people all the time who claim to be very spiritual people, and they claim to have spiritual experiences, and they claim to be in touch with the spiritual realm, and yet they don't have any connection to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay.
And the Bible warns us about this. It says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit."
That's right.
"But test the spirits to see whether they be of God." And it says, any spirit that does not confess Jesus Christ as come in the flesh is not from God. And so there, we have to be cognizant that there is an entire spiritual realm of wickedness that the Bible talks about that is separate and opposed to what God is doing. And people who are claiming to be spiritual and have spiritual experiences and do spiritual acts with no connection to the Lord Jesus Christ, those people are actually communing with demonic entities. They're communing with demonic spirits. They're being led not into truth, but rather into falsehood.
Now, and I want to let you keep going on this for a second, but I want to give a clarifying and a foundational passage of scripture that leads to this. And this fills up a lot of understanding about the Holy Spirit. Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter number 4, verse 1. "Now the Spirit speaketh." Okay. This gives us straight up that this is a person who speaks. "So the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith." How? "Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Beware of those quote unquote spiritual people that don't affirm who Jesus is, that don't walk according to his word. For the Holy Spirit, the person of the Trinity, the Spirit of God, tells us to be on the lookout, for in the latter days people will depart from actually communing with the Holy Spirit and begin communing with evil spirits. Okay, did you want to finish one thing up on the discerning the spirits, or should we go to the best part of today's show?
Let's move on to Genesis 24.
Now, folks, we're going to kind of study a little bit of this passage today. Old Lion, Young Lion are going to walk through some of this story. I'm going to have Old Lion set the context for what we're looking at, and I want you to go and study Genesis 24. If we didn't hit your favorite verse on the Holy Spirit today, that he utters, he speaks for us when we can't even pray, or he builds us up in the most holy faith. If we didn't hit your favorite verse about edifying yourself in the Holy Spirit, we understand. Look, this all throughout the Bible. We don't have time. We understand that he gets kind of relegated to the back seat. We want to lift up this person of the Holy Spirit, give you as much as we can. Go study this out. Don't be afraid to look into the things of the Holy Spirit and make sure that you're holding tightly to God's word. So let's go to Genesis 24. What's the setting? We know this is the first book of the Bible, the beginning of our Old Testament. What's the revelation that's coming in chapter 24? And let's kind of dig through some of these passages. Old Line.
Isaac, the son of Abraham, is about 30 years old, and Abraham is old. He's 130 years old. Isaac's mother has passed on by now. Abraham sees it's time for his son to have a wife and to be married. And so Abraham calls this unnamed servant. This servant in the Bible calls him, he's unnamed, and he says, he makes him swear, and he sends him to go and get a bride for his son Isaac, and he gives him some instructions not to get him from the Canaanites, but to go to the land of his relatives and to get this woman. And so the servant heads out. He's loaded up with all kinds of riches. He's got bunches of camels, and he's heading out, and this servant prays to the Lord. He gets out to this well, and he prays to the Lord. He says, "Lord, let the girl who comes up and waters my camels and then gives me some water and just goes above and beyond, let her be the one that you've chosen for my master Isaac."
So what you're saying, and Sam, an Old Line and I believe that the Old Testament was written for our learning, and even though these are actual people in history, the Lord is weaving a story throughout history that depicts all truth throughout all time. So in Genesis 24, we're seeing the actual story of Isaac getting his bride. But what are we actually seeing? Abraham representing God the Father as he does throughout the Old Testament. Isaac representing Jesus Christ as the Son as he does throughout the whole entire Old Testament. And then this mysterious servant that's throughout the Old Testament that we believe represents the Holy Spirit. So Abraham the Father, Isaac the Son, and the servant the Holy Spirit. And what Old Lion is leading us into in this story is that the Father sends the Spirit to get a bride for his Son. And if you're paying attention to this story, this is the exact story that the Father receives Jesus Christ up into heaven and then sends his Spirit to go collect a bride for his Son. So give us a couple of particulars in the story, things that you see are interesting, things that you see that pop out for you. So far you've told us Abraham sent his servant to go collect his Son. He came with riches. He sees this girl that pops out and she goes and feeds and gives his camel something to drink, which he just prayed for. And so what happens next?
So the next thing that you see is she gives him some water. She waters all of his camels. And then he turns to her and he gives to her gold bracelets, gold jewelry, all these precious gifts. He just heaps them on this girl. And this is a picture of what happened in the New Testament after Jesus ascended, when the Holy Spirit fell upon the church in Acts chapter 2. What happened next was that the Holy Spirit gave gifts to all the believers. So just furnish the church with all these spiritual gifts of prophecy and healing and discernment and faith and miracles and all these gifts that the Holy Spirit poured out, these blessings that the Holy Spirit poured out upon the church. This is exactly foreshadowing that future event. So you have Abraham the Father, Isaac the Son, the unnamed servant as the Holy Spirit, and you have Rebecca as the church, and she's receiving these gifts of the Holy Spirit, which we read about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 14.
I love this, and you should go watch some of these comparisons. You'll watch the story unfold. But the servant comes from a far land sent by Abraham. He prays to the Lord and says, help me find this bride for Isaac, the woman that will give me to drink. And what is her first response? If you go and look at Genesis 24 and you look at verse number 18, he pulls up to this well and Rebecca, who he doesn't know yet, shows up and she says, drink, my Lord. She tells the servant, my Lord, the calling of Thomas to Jesus. She then says to the servant, my Lord. As we said earlier, that the point of the Holy Spirit convicting you of sin is for you to call out to the Holy Spirit and say, my Lord. The Holy Spirit is God, and it's showing up also in Genesis chapter 24. So then we kind of see the story unfold as the servant starts to meet with Rebecca's brother named Laban. And tell us a little bit about the story from here on. What happens in Genesis 24? We have a new character, Laban, that shows up. What's his role in this? And now we have Abraham, we have Isaac, we got this damsel, Rebecca, we got this servant, and we got Laban. So what happens in the rest of the story?
Well, so Laban, they receive this servant into their house, they give fodder to his camels, and they want to give him a nice meal and everything. He says, hey, I'm not going to eat until I have declared the message from my master.
I got to read this. This is so good. It's because it's my favorite verse in Genesis 24. This is Genesis 24, verse 33. And the servant comes and it says, and there was set at meat before him to eat. But the servant said, I will not eat until I have told what my master sent me to tell. And they say, speak on. And this is a direct correlation to the Holy Spirit in John chapter number 16, telling us, I do not speak of myself, but I speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so even in this story, Genesis 24, the hidden servant, the stepchild, I guess as someone call him, the unnamed servant that represents the Holy Spirit, shows up to do the job of finding the bride on behalf of the Father for the Son. And he says, before I even feed myself, before I even tell you anything, before we even begin to commune, I need to do the work for which I was sent. And he doesn't even eat until he declares the word of his master.
That's right.
So give us, wrap up the whole end of the story. What happens? Does he get the bride? Does he not get the bride? What happens? And what's the end of the story and how it relates to the New Testament?
It's touch and go for a while there. And we see some resistance from Rebecca's brother. And we find out later in the story that this guy was a little shifty, this Laban character. And there are always those who are in pretended religion. There are always those who are taking up this mantle of being religious, who are trying to hold you back from receiving the fullness of the kingdom of God. And you just need to be aware of those people. And I think Laban is a good example and representative of those who would kind of hold back people from experiencing the fullness of walking in the Holy Spirit.
The Bible gives some identity characteristics of the Holy Spirit, and he says, the Spirit searcheth all things and reveals the deep things of God. So if you heard today's show and you're kind of contemplating about some deep things, that might be the Holy Spirit convicting you and leading you closer, not only to truth, but thy word is truth. That's back right. To the word of God. And so we're not a show that necessarily gets into what's going on in the fashion world or what's happening in a sports world or what season is it for a different type of Olympics or anything like that. Our show seeks to dig deep into the word of God and declare these things from the word of God as boldly as we can. We hope we did that today. And we hope that you'll stick with us in the future, and God bless.
And we'll see you in church.